This programming is sponsored by Linscombe Wealth, a wealth management firm partnering with individuals and families dedicated to helping them build, preserve, and manage wealth by creating a customized plan to work toward achieving their goals. More at linscombewealth.com.
Welcome to Party Politics. I'm Jay Iyer, a political science professor from Texas Southern University.
And I'm Brandon Rottinghouse, a political science professor from the University of Houston. Well, Jay, we've got obviously a lot of interesting things happening in politics, but this special episode of the podcast is devoted to a discussion about what's to come in the next congressional session. The 116th U.S. legislature will meet, and we're going to talk a little bit about what that might mean politically and what we might expect. We've had an unusual arranged marriage here, Jay, right?
That's right.
We've got divided government to come. The Democrats control the House. The Republicans control the Senate. The Republican White House, obviously, is headed by Donald Trump. What's to come here, just generally speaking, in terms of the dynamics?
Yeah, welcome to the most dysfunctional marriage in America,
right,
ladies and gentlemen.
Right.
Yes, you've got the Speaker of the House will be Nancy Pelosi. The leader of the Senate will be the always capable Mitch McConnell coming back.
Yes,
and
he is a knife fighter, right?
Yeah, he is a knife fighter, as two members of the Supreme Court can attest to.
Yeah.
And of course, we've got the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. So yeah, this is kind of a motley crew, right? It's going to be interesting
right.
kind of witch's brew to figure out how they make this work. First off the bat, what are the powers of each thing? So if you look at what the House can do, because that's the big question, right? How aggressively do they go after Donald Trump? We know that they are going to put out a whole series of hearings. And some of these hearings are going to include things like looking at tax returns of the president. They're going to look at some of the involvements related to Russia. We know they're going to look at the emails of Ivanka Trump now. We got butter emails part two.
Right.
So we've got these hearings that are going to go on. But on top of those hearings going on, and this big shadowy question of, we've got the Mueller report that's going to be released. What comes out of that? What leads to other issues there? And the dreaded I word. Will Democrats put the proverbial foot on the I? You know, will they step into it, Brandon? What do you think?
You know, I do think we're going to see hearings. I don't think we'll see impeachment. I guess in terms of the balance here, obviously Democrats have got to think carefully about what they want the hearings to be about, right? I think you have your finger on it. That is, they need to think about kind of more specific contemporary issues, which are about abuse of power. Congressional investigations of administrations have historically spurred legislation. So they need to use this as a bridge, basically, to find a new way to challenge the president. That's not just about, like, the theater of the thing, right? That's led sometimes to presidential concessions and clearly lowers presidential approval ratings. So I think Democrats can make some gains, but they're going to need Republican support. So one way in which they might find that actually is on the Ivanka Trump email situation, right, where several Republicans have said, yes, we need to have hearings on this. So the Democrats won't be in this alone. There will be Republicans who are going to participate in this too. In terms of impeachment, I think that's such a wild card, right? I mean, obviously there's going to be a lot of information which is going to come out. So there's a possibility of that, but that's not something Democrats ran on, right? That's not something that they really put as front and center electorally. So I don't think that's the smartest play for them. They need to wait and see. So in terms of impeachment, I think that it's better to be kind of more steady. The drumbeat here needs to be more like a jazz quartet rather than like the grunge rock I know that you like. So I'm guessing that that's a better play for them to think about big issues, the things that their voters care about, as opposed to impeachment.
Yeah, I think impeachment would be massive overreach.
Yeah, too much, right?
Yeah, we've heard that word overreach. And that's really, I think, the best description. We saw this before in 94 when Newt Gingrich and the Republicans took over the House. Similar sort of dynamic. They overreached, and it resulted in a resounding victory for Bill Clinton in 96.
Yeah.
The real question to me is, and we saw that when last time we had this sort of divided government, they were able to really function at a high level, and you had a lot of important things going on all in the middle of that Whitewater era investigations that happened in the mid-90s. I think there are substantive issues that they can tackle collectively that will provide some wins. The big assumption, of course, is that Democrats are willing to deal with the president, because we know that the president likes to make deals.
Yeah.
He likes to kind of get things done. The interesting thing is, how will Republicans react and how will Democrats react is if he's suddenly becoming more friendly to it.
Yeah.
But first off the top for me, Brandon, is health care.
Yeah.
This is what Democrats ran on.
Right.
They ran on increasing health care access. They ran on fixing some of the issues with the Affordable Care Act. the president hates Obamacare. So here's my thought. They're going to rebrand this as Trump Care.
Oh,
it's going to be 95% of what Obamacare is, and a lot of the issues are going to get fixed out. The question is, will Democrats pass it? Will they be willing to pass it?
Right. I think they might be, actually. There's a lot of support, a bipartisan support for pre-existing conditions, so protecting pre-existing conditions. So I think you could probably get that passed. I think stroking Trump's ego a little bit probably goes a long way. I mean, we've seen the president attempt to cut deals with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer in the past.
Chuck and Nancy.
Yeah, exactly.
He likes
right.
Chuck and Nancy.
Yeah, and I mean, the week later, you know, he's calling them names. But, like, you know, this is a kind of an unusual marriage, as we noted. So I do think that's a possibility here. And I think that that needs to happen early because Donald Trump at some point will recognize that politically it's going to be a problem for him to cut deals with Democrats. And if the Democrats are smart, as I think they are, and seasoned as we know that they have been, I think that cutting that deal quickly is going to be the way to do it.
Well, the other one to me is infrastructure.
Yeah.
This has had bipartisan support. The big caveat is how you do it and how do you do it when you've got a $1 trillion
right.
deficit, right? Because we know they can't spend a lot of public dollars.
Yeah.
And the real challenge is how do you get a bill out that's going to inject needed money into the public's infrastructure system. We have literally crumbling bridges. We've got crumbling roads.
Yeah.
Our highway system as a whole is in decay. And so the big question is how they do it.
Yeah.
But that's something that they both actually agree on.
Well, no. And this has been something actually that some GOP leaders have really pushed back on. And Peter DeFazio, who is the chair of that committee in the House, will be now he was the ranking member. Now he'll be the chair. This is something that both parties want, and the president wanted to sign it. He signaled that's true. So I'm thinking that's going to be one, but that won't be the only thing, Jay. I mean, I think we're going to see compromise potentially on taxes, right? There are a lot of Republicans who want to reinstall the state and local tax deduction that was taken out from the tax bill that was passed. There are many Democrats who would encourage that and would probably go along with making those tax cuts more or less permanent. There's also issues on defense policy, which is being identified as bloated, so that $700 billion has been pointed to as being simply too much money. And there's bipartisan efforts to basically reform that and maybe reduce it. So a subtle shift in terms of the financial priorities could make some big changes and make everybody pretty happy. That's probably good for the Democrats. I mean, having a win or wins after they come out of this on that are bipartisan would be, I think, pretty good. And there are a lot of people who challenged Nancy Pelosi from the Democratic side on that very point. In fact, she conceded to certain rules which would allow for certain bipartisan legislation, regardless of how much support it had among Democrats, to be able to be released and to be voted on. So I think that you're going to see a much more kind of bipartisan Congress because Democrats see the value in it. Republicans see the absolute need electorally, and the president probably is willing to play ball.
Yeah, you mentioned a really important point. In the past, what's happened when the Republicans were in charge, they had something that they would generally call the Hastert rule. It started when Denny Hastert was the Speaker of the House. But the essential idea is that no legislation could make it to the floor unless a majority of the Republican caucus was in support of it. This time, that's gone away. And so now what they're saying is if you can get 50 plus one, you can get something to the floor. And that could change a lot of possibilities. To me, another sort of big substantive bill that you might see happening, criminal justice reform.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of bipartisan support for it. Both in the Senate and the House side, it's an important issue. You've got folks like Kim Kardashian and Kanye West for it.
Oh, did they get elected too? That's great.
Wow. Yeah. Kim Ye 2020.
Right.
So that might happen. And then we've got this big old question mark out there, which has been the raison d'etre for the Trump administration. And that is the wall. Can you build a wall? Big, beautiful wall, but you can't get Mexico to pay for it.
Apparently they're not because we're still fighting about funding for this, right? Democrats are willing to offer some money on this, but the president wants like even more. The president wants $5 billion. Democrats are going to give 1.6, but that's generally for like border security. I think the Democrats are in a bit of a pickle here because you've got now the Congressional Progressive Caucus that was at 80 before the election and now it's at 96. The Blue Dog Coalition, which is a group of kind of conservative House Democrats, has shrunk from 54 in 2012 to 24 this next session. So I think that there's going to be some tension because negotiations have to proceed on a bunch of stuff, the budget, on DACA, all the things that you're talking about, right? The problem for Democrats will be that there was going to be a tremendous push from some of the more newly elected liberal members to get Pelosi to not play ball on some of these issues, where otherwise they might get, frankly, a deal, period. And sometimes any deal is better than none. I'm not sure they're going to see it that way. So I wonder If you think in the context of the wall or immigration reform more broadly, if you're going to see a problem for the Democrats in terms of developing that consensus in the caucus.
No, I think you're right on this. Yeah. And I think the difference in as much as it'll be progressive and versus Blue Dog, I think it's also a regional question.
Yeah.
Right. Because you've got a lot of ones. You've got a lot of new members from California, a couple here in Texas and from the Southwest really wanting a more comprehensive immigration
right.
reform package. You've got it that not just deals with the Dreamers or those folks who came here when they were kids and really are here, no fault of their own, but want a more comprehensive one. You've still got folks who want a guest worker bill
right.
that labor is adamantly opposed, and the Blue Dog folks are very much opposed to that. And so you've got this sort of push and pull on immigration reform, and you've got this, it's become so toxic because the president has really charged rhetoric around it. The Republicans themselves are trying to figure out how to deal with it. We know that the Republican base is moved to the right on the issue of immigration.
Yeah.
So I don't see how they're going to solve that one.
Yeah.
And you've got this going on with the specter of the hearings kind of gumming up everything else, the politically charged hearings. I don't know if this is what they're going to war on over the next 2 years. They got elected on health care, a little bit on infrastructure,
yeah.
a little bit on even criminal justice reform in some cases. I mean, we know about, you know, not just the Me Too movement and, you know, Black Lives Matter and all of that.
Yeah.
But we've also got other things going on that social side, which you're not going to see, I think, are other big contentious social issues.
I think this is, again, a risk for the Democrats, right? Like, sort of digging in their heels and not doing anything is going to be, I think, as bad as trying to get, you know, more passed than they otherwise might. I was taken by an op-ed that I read from former Senator Joe Lieberman, who says that Congress, regardless of who controls it, is less popular today than the flu. Which that was a great way of putting it, because nothing is getting done. I mean, we are at historic level low number of bills being passed, and partly because of this divided government, which we know that historically limits the amount of legislation being passed. But to me, the Democrats, I think, have a potential to kind of be co-opted by this problem. And so they need to get some kind of movement on bills. And that's going to be a tough challenge, because I think there's a risk of misreading the election results, right? Saying that this was a mandate to do X, Y, and Z, and maybe it's not. I mean, the majority they've got is fairly small, only about 16 seats, depending on how some of these seats kind of come out. And the question is, you know, whether or not that's something that they're going to push and win. And that's really, I think, the trick. And why Nancy Pelosi really has to be sharp when it comes to making those kinds of decisions.
So what I think makes it interesting is Nancy Pelosi, just if you look at how she was when she was speaker before, mm-hmm. she's incredibly effective. Her ability to get her caucus together, to vote in lockstep, to put out bills that are passable by Democrats, especially when you can't get any other votes from any other side, from the Republican side, has been at a level, I think, that's been better than anyone else's. So
yeah.
I'm a fan of her as speaker and her ability to kind of make the trains run on time.
Yeah.
And I think you'll see the compromise areas on those things like taxes, on health care,
yeah.
where I think the line will have to be drawn from an ideological perspective on something else.
Right.
The issue she's going to have is how does she kind of minimize the expectations from some of the more progressive caucus members, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez being the most obvious one with from New York, who's got this bill out on wanting sort of this Green New Deal, really talking about climate change, really talking about environmental issues in a more substantive way. Those issues might not make it to the forefront. How does she deal with a lot of disgruntled activist freshmen?
Yeah. This wasn't as serious a challenge to her leadership as I think we'll see in the next Congress, assuming Democrats continue this. So this is going to be, I think, where the Democratic Party really has its continuous fights, which is mirrors in some ways what the Republicans are fighting about. So to me, the Democrats have got an opportunity here to exploit the divide in that Republican Party, but it only works if there's unity about the issues. And I'm not sure that's true. It reminds me of the Eisenhower Congresses, where LBJ expertly sliced up the Republicans. And although Trump is not like Ike in any way, love of golf aside, they're very different diplomatically and personally. But this was a moment where Eisenhower wanted to get things done, like Trump wants to get things done. And the Democrats were able to help facilitate that. So there could be a moment where that happens. But again, there's so many different variables here that didn't exist back then that it's going to be very, very complicated.
All right. So let me see if we can sort of distill this back down. What do you think happens out of this Congress? Do you think they get anything done? We talked a lot about some of these issues. Do the hearings kind of just dominate and it's all politics, 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 tweet of the day kind of stuff?
Yeah.
Or the substantive big ticket issues, do we see any movement on them?
I mean, I think very little, right? I mean, historically, that's been true. So it's hard to get ambitious in a circumstance like this. But there is opportunity there. And I think if the Democrats are smart about the way that they process these hearings, and if they're doing so in ways that don't anger the president personally, then you could see the president making those deals. We cannot rely on the president assuming that there's a kind of traditional and normative kind of political action that he could take. That's not the way the president thinks. So I don't think that appealing to a sense of like progress is going to be good for them. But I do think that if they can avoid some of the more direct attacks on Trump, then they can be potentially successful at moving the needle on some of these issues, but clearly not all of them.
I think you've got 1 year. You don't have 2 years because you've got a presidential election in 2020.
Right.
So you've got 2019 to get as much as you can get done. I think there's only one thing they can potentially accomplish.
Okay, what is it?
And I think it's going to be some changes on health care reform.
Okay.
And on a big way.
Yeah.
Everything else will be going by the wayside because they're going to be dominated by the hearings.
The White House holds all the cards, though. Right? I mean, they joined the Texas suit, right, which basically says, you know, Obamacare is illegal. So I wonder how much they can get done on a big ticket issue like that. Maybe a couple of small things, assuming they can get Republican consensus. But that's all going to be a hard lift.
Yeah, well, that's true. But I mean, if I was picking one thing, I think mainly because I think there's so many for Democrats, that has been their primary issue.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to see anything on immigration. I just don't think we have the resources to deal with infrastructure, even though that's a tremendous need. And so that's going to be, I think, the big problem here for them. Immigration is so volatile right now. As much as people want to talk about it, focus on it, the president does. The problem there is the politics for the president on immigration are vastly different for Democrats. He sees this sort of combativeness around it as a win for him, and it'll lead into 2020 for him.
And it's hard to see how he would pull off of that. The fact that there's not a knife to Congress's throat on a bunch of these must-do items, I think, probably limits the ability to get things done. If they can get some things done, they have to get done, like passing a fully fledged budget in addition to the other sort of items that trickle up. I think that's probably a win, just making sure the trains are actually running. I don't think we're talking about a bigger, better train. I think you're just talking about making sure things continue to meet the station when they should. So that's, I guess, the best hope we can get out of a divided Congress, which is very challenging for all parties.
I would agree with that. And Brandon, with that, that's it for this week. Party Politics recorded in the George B. Geary Performance Studio at Houston Public Media.
Big thanks to our coordinating producer, Ernie Manous. Special kudos to our web and graphics team here at Houston Public Media. And finally, thanks to our audio engineer, Todd Holslander.
I'm Jay Iyer.
And I'm Brandon Rottinghouse. We'll see you next week.